Thank you. All right, so the New York City Metropolitan Statistical Area continues to have the greatest number of reported AIDS cases compared with other MSAs in the United States. Syringe exchange programs and the legalization of selling syringes at pharmacies without a prescription has correlated with a decrease in HIV infections among injection drug users in New York City. But IDUs also face HIV risk from sexual transmission. So nationally and in New York City, men who have sex with men comprise the greatest number of new HIV diagnoses and people living with HIV/AIDS. In 2011, of all new HIV cases among male IDUs in the United States, 47% were among those who are also men that have sex with men. More than one quarter of new HIV diagnoses among MSM in 2011 were among men who also have sex with men and women. And so surveillance data are not routinely collected on MSMW, and MSMW may be considered a hidden population that may not seek out general MSM services due to stigmatization or lack of self-identification. MSMW could also bridge the epidemic to other populations through their female sex partners, and drug-using MSMW may be at especially greater risk for HIV infection. So this current study examined the differences in risk correlates for MSMW compared with MSWO among a sample of IDUs in New York City. All right, so these data were taken from the National HIV Behavioral Surveillance System. And NHBS is funded by CDC, and it's conducted across 20 different MSAs in the United States. It's an ongoing cyclical study that studies three different risk groups that are MSM, IDUs, and heterosexuals that increase risk for HIV infection. And these data were taken from the 2012 third round of the NHBS IDU cycle. And this is a cross-sectional study. Okay, so the eligibility criteria for NHBS IDU3 were that the participant had to have injected drugs that were not prescribed for them in the past 12 months, and this was verified. The interviewer would ask the participant to show them their track marks or other visible signs of injection, and then sometimes those marks aren't visible, and so the interviewer would follow up with questions about knowledge of injection practices. And the participant had to be at least 18 years of age and be a resident of the New York City MSA and speak either English or Spanish. Okay, and so the recruitment method we used is respondent-driven sampling. And so during formative research, we identify people who, they're called seeds. They're gregarious and hopefully gregarious and well connected. They have large networks of other injectors. Hopefully they're persuasive. And so we identify about 5 to 10. Actually, we identified 12 in the study of these seeds. We ask them to complete the survey and ask them to take an HIV test. And then we give them three what we call coupons to recruit their peers into the study. And then when their peers come in, they go through the same process with the interview, the HIV test, and then we give them coupons. So it's this perpetual recruitment chain. And we continually, the study team continually monitors recruitment to make sure that it's representative. And so study incentives are provided for the interview, the HIV test, and for recruitment. And if you want to learn more about respondent-driven sampling, there's the website respondent-drivensampling.org. Okay, so for the purposes of this study, participants were considered MSWO if they reported having oral, vaginal, or anal sex with at least one female partner in the past 12 months. And participants were considered MSMW if they reported having oral or anal sex with at least one male partner in the past 12 months. And oral, vaginal, or anal sex with at least one female partner in the past 12 months. Okay, so data were weighted to reduce recruitment biases common in chain referral methods, considering preferential in-group recruitment, which is known as homophily, which just means people with characteristics recruit like themselves, people like themselves, and it was also adjusted for large network sizes. And weights were generated using RDS analysis tool 7.1. And because those people that we initially recruited were not randomly recruited, we restricted our analyses to only those non-seed males. And so what we did was we compared the weighted and the unweighted frequencies, and those confidence intervals that overlapped were considered non-significant. So associations between selective variables and having sex with both men and women compared to having sex with women only in the past 12 months were examined through the estimation of odds ratios and 95% confidence intervals using unweighted logistic regression models. We decided to not weight our data because when we looked at the differences between the percentages and all of the confidence intervals overlapped, so we decided to go forward with unweighted logistic regression. Those variables significant in bivariate analyses were considered for inclusion in the multivariate model with p less than 0.1, and variables were eliminated from the multivariate model using stepwise selection with p less than 0.1 for entry and p less than 0.05 for retention, and we conducted all the analyses using SAS 9.2. So we recruited 12 seeds, and they recruited a total of 525 participants, the majority of whom were male, 75%. And of these, 333 reported having sex with a woman in the past 12 months. And of those, 47 or 14% reported also having sex with a man in the past 12 months. Okay, so these are the demographic characteristics of those 303. As you can see, our sample is a little bit older. It was predominantly Latino. And the language preference was English, but there were quite a few that preferred to speak Spanish. And most were not married or cohabitating. Okay, so here are some more demographic characteristics. As you can see, almost 40% of our sample was born in Puerto Rico, about 60% in the United States, and 2% other countries. Most identified as straight. And most of our participants came from Brooklyn and the Bronx. And very few, or about 15%, had lived in New York City for less than 3 years. And about half of the sample was homeless and had reported to be homeless within the last 12 months. Okay, so here are the factors that were significantly associated with men having sex with men and women. Other race. A preference for speaking Spanish, not married or cohabitating, having been born in Puerto Rico or another country, bisexual identity, and then Bronx residence was significantly associated, but Brooklyn residence was inversely associated, and New York City residence less than 3 years and being homeless in the past 12 months. Okay, so these are the sexual and drug use behaviors that are associated with the past 12 months bisexual behavior among male IDUs in New York City. As you can see, there are a lot. Anal sex with a female partner, anal sex without a condom with a female partner, over three sex partners, sex without a condom with over three partners, having sold sex, having bought sex. Now, sold and bought, that kind of, those terms indicate a monetary transaction, but it's not necessarily. The questionnaire asks, did you received or did you give things in exchange for sex in the past 12 months? So it could be anything. Binge drinking at least once a week, non-injection cocaine use, non-injection crack use, non-injection methamphetamine use, most injected drug being either cocaine or speedball, and having receptively shared syringes in the past 12 months, having receptively shared injection equipment, including cookers, cotton, and water, and injecting at least daily in the past 12 months. But despite all of those risk factors, there is no significant difference in HIV prevalence between MSMW and MSMO. So when we looked at the multivariate model, these are the variables that came through. So not surprisingly, bisexual identity was strongly associated with men having sex with men and women. Also, Bronx residence was significantly associated with men having sex with men and women. We're not really sure why that would be the case. It could be that it could be that the Bronx is a less tolerant borough for, and men, I'm not really sure. It could be that they I'm not really sure. It could, there's a lot of cultural factors that could be at play there. Also, those that had at least three sex partners, having sold sex, and interestingly, having bought sex flipped. There's some qualitative confounding with that variable. It could be that those who, it's not likely that someone will give money for things for sex and not also receive money and things for sex. So when you put both variables in the model, the association flips. And injection methamphetamine use was also significantly associated with men having sex with men and women. Okay, so here are some limitations of the study. So RDS-based estimates may not be generalizable to the population of New York City IDUs if methodological assumptions are not met. RDS can only recruit those who are socially networked to other IDUs. So if there are people who are injecting alone and don't associate with other injectors, we wouldn't be able to recruit them into our study. All data except for HIV and hepatitis C serostatus were collected by self-report and may be biased by recall error or social desirability and self-selection. So there are some strengths to the study. This is a large data set with multiple HIV risk factors. It's a national standardized survey and protocol. We do extensive formative research before we do data collection. We have several months of formative research to better understand the population before we actually go out into the field to collect the data. And then RDS can reach hidden populations of IDUs who may not access treatment programs in other institutionalized settings. So the conclusions are that the prevalence of bisexual behavior was high among the sample of IDUs in New York City. MSMW engaged in greater sexual risk and drug use behaviors compared with MSWO and may serve to sexually bridge the epidemic to women with whom they have sex as well as to syringe sharing partners. MSMW IDUs are an important subgroup to consider for HIV intervention, as they may not be reached through HIV prevention programming aimed at preventing sexual transmission of HIV among MSM. And this is our research team. And that's it.
I'll ask a question. Were you able to determine the relationship between the recipients of the coupons and the characteristics of the person who gave them the coupon? Are there, can you see if those relationships, if they're handing them to sexual partners, for example?
So we didn't look at that in this analysis. That might be something good to look at, but we do have the data that we can look at. And then the questionnaire asks, what is your relationship to this person? So it asks things like, is this a sexual partner? Is this a stranger? Is this a friend? Is this a family member? So we could look at it, but we haven't yet.
My name is Carol Ann from New York State. So it seemed like your population was predominantly white, which probably isn't representative of all MSM in New York City. What do you think some of the reasons are why you got a sample that wasn't necessarily representative of New York City, given the informative work? And I'm wondering if it had anything to do with the location of your book.
That's a very good question. So there are a couple issues here. So one is the location of our field sites definitely makes a big difference. When I went into the field, the one site in the Bronx is predominantly Puerto Rican, and I think that just the geographic proximity that people are likely to recruit people who are nearby the field site. And although when we do the recruiter training and we tell people to give the coupons to people they know, what happens a lot of time is that they know someone who's in the methadone program nearby, you know. So even though they're supposed to be people that they know well, they'll just kind of give it out to people in the waiting room of the area. And where we did the location in the Bronx is multi-service but also has a methadone program, so they didn't have to travel far to give their coupon out. So that's one geographic, I think other sites, I think Chicago has also found the same thing, that that there's this geographic clustering around field sites. And then another issue, which is kind of related to that, is this issue of low-hanging fruit. So even if you, there could be this violation of people not selecting from their the population randomly. Like in this population, over half were homeless in the last 12 months. So it's the people who are available to come to the study. It's the people who may be lower income and are more in need of the incentive than other people. So this year, we're going to make an effort to have younger people in our study. This is we're going to the fourth round of NHBS IDU. So we're going to do differential coupon recruitment. We're going to give two coupons to people who are older than 30 and older, and five coupons to people who are younger than 30, and see what happens. And hopefully we'll be able to get younger people, because as you saw from our demographics, this population is much older. I think it's just because they're a better network. They've been in their routine for a long time, maybe going to methadone programs or other, accessing other services that are targeted to injection drug users, but it's definitely something that is of concern.
Well, thank you very much.